Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we sit down with my good friend Donald Trump Jr. We talk about his upcoming book. Wait, the book that's out right now, Triggered. Go buy it. Go to Amazon. Go buy Triggered. We talk about that. We talk about the time we spent together on the campaign trail. We talk about things that have never been discussed publicly before. So you want to sit tight and listen to this episode. Before we go any further, type in the Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Give us a 5-star rating. Press subscribe. Get your friend to do the same. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show, the home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. We're sitting right here, right before a big campus event to talk about Donald Trump Jr.'s upcoming book, Triggered. So, Don, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's going to be exciting.
So it's out today. So everyone listening to this should go right now to, they can go to Amazon, wherever, and you know, buy, or a local bookstore, and buy 5 copies of Triggered. Actually, 8 copies, because that's how many years that Donald Trump will be in the White House. So everyone go buy 8 copies of Triggered. So Don, I know
you're not going to read the other copies. Send them to your favorite crazy libtard congressman or whatever it may be.
Exactly. Well, we joked, Don, that I don't know if this still might happen or exist. There should be a website where you could send AOC a copy.
I'm literally working on creating that. It's like buy one, send one to your craziest libtard. It should be interesting. Hopefully I can have it up and running by then. Obviously, we're a little bit swamped with other things working on. So, the notion of building out a website purely for trolling while appealing may not be the best use of time, but it still could be fun.
It's good, but we'll boost sales. But look, we're honored to have you back on the show, Don. And for everyone listening that might not have heard the first episode, Don helped the spike in the charts and get us to be one of the top podcasts on earth. So tell us about the book. Why'd you write it? I know you were talking about writing a book for some time, and tell us a little about it.
Well, it's a combination of things. I mean, I think everyone, in the past were like, well, when are you going to write a business book? I'm like, I think my dad's kind of got that covered. It's a little bit different. But I think, given some of my upbringing, given the roller coaster that we've been through as a family for the last few years, given, I've been one of the people sort of leading the charge and sort of pushing back vocally all of these things, given that I was the number 2 target of the Robert Mueller hoax.
The fake Mueller hoax,
I just said, there's a lot of sort of interesting things that I could probably put in there. And I'd go around and I'd tell these stories, whether it's, at events with you guys at Turning Point, whether it was, at donor places. And they're like, that's an amazing story. Like, you got to write, you hear that enough times. And eventually it's like, now I actually have the justification to write the book that people have been talking about for a while, but I didn't actually realize I had the content for. So I think, the roller coaster opened up the door for all of that, and I think it's an interesting story for a lot of people to see, because I'm probably a pretty unlikely conservative, at least on paper.
All right, what a week for football, everybody. The most important thing, the Ducks of Oregon won. They are number 7 in the country. They're doing quite well. I think they are going to make the college football playoff. Of course, we're talking about our segment here, brought to you by our great friends at betonline.ag. And if you want to get in on the action, don't forget your promo code podcast1. That's betonline.ag. Some huge matchups coming up this weekend, LSU at Alabama. Word on the street is that the President of the United States might be at that game. That's a pretty great game. LSU at Alabama, I like LSU. I like LSU to go on the road to win. I think they are America's best team. Got Iowa at Wisconsin. I like Iowa to pull it off. Penn State at Minnesota. People are going to think I'm nuts. I like Penn State to lose. I like Minnesota to win. I think Penn State's going to go on the road, but Minnesota's undefeated. So is Penn State. Minnesota's been looking for some love. I like Minnesota for the upset. And Kansas State at Texas, not really that big of a game. So both teams are kind of irrelevant. So we have our A&M member of the team here, very happy about that. But guess what? A&M also is doing horrible this year. So Kansas State at Texas, I think Texas will win. NFL matchups, again, this is brought to you by betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag, use that promo code podcast1. So we got some NBA key matchups, New Orleans at Brooklyn. I think Kevin Durant's on Brooklyn now, right? That's something interesting. Really don't know who will win that game, so why not Brooklyn? Golden State at Houston. Sure, Golden State. Again, regular season NBA doesn't exactly get me excited. So Milwaukee at the Clippers. Clippers, sure. Philly at Denver. Flip a coin. Philadelphia will lose. Okay, Denver will win. Toronto at the Lakers. Why not Toronto? I think they're defending champs, right? Toronto won. That was probably one of the most underappreciated championships of the last year. And NFL, to more important matters. Again, this is brought to you by betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. And we're doing our Sportsnet Challenge. We're picking them. It's join the conversation on Twitter with hashtag Sportsnet Challenge. We have the Chargers at the Raiders. I like the Chargers. Detroit at Chicago. I like Chicago to rally and to win that. Kansas City at Tennessee. I like Kansas City. Minnesota at Dallas. I like Minnesota. And Seattle at San Francisco. My boy, Jimmy Garoppolo, is the best quarterback in the NFL. I've been saying it all along. You can go back in the Charlie Kirk Show archives. We've been calling a San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl run before it was fashionable again. Please go to betonline.ag. If you say, Charlie, you're so wrong about these picks, well, then prove it. Go to betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1. Get in on the action again. Betonline.ag.
Well, I think what's amazing about your story, and you know, we'll talk about a little bit of it, but not all of it because some of it's in the book, is that you felt you came into this whole conservative fight through exposure of communism at a young age. When I tell people this story, they have no idea.
Yeah.
And secondly, your love of the outdoors. So talk about, you know, going to communist Czechoslovakia as a young kid.
Well, and that's what it was. I mean, my grandfather, my mother escaped it. I always talk about at these events. I'm sure we'll hit it in an hour or two to the mob. But, you know, my mother's one of those people that escaped from communism. And I had a grandfather that, was born there and lived there his whole life. And he came over. He was the guy at my parents' wedding. My grandmother wasn't allowed to go because they wouldn't let both of them. I'm looking at the wedding picture. I'm like, well, where's my grandmother? Well, they wouldn't let her leave the country. So I started thinking, what kind of political system would not allow people to even leave?
Five or six? Or?
Well, I mean, this was, this is a picture. I don't remember when I saw that. But the first time I went over there, I was about five. And my grandfather had that conversation with my father, which was, you guys are very blessed to have the life that you have here in the United States. All the great fortune, you should see the other side. Mm-hmm. If only to have a frame of reference to not take anything for granted. And so, from about the age of five, I'd go over there with him every summer for a month, 6 weeks. I spoke the language fluently. I had friends over there. But the first time I went over was the sort of real first memory I had in life, which was getting pulled out of customs line because, I was a five-year-old kid. I was wearing a jean jacket, which in the early 80s was still pretty cool. It had the stars and stripes on it. And, your five-year-old kid get pulled out of line by a customs guy with a machine gun and, that communist sort of drab military outfit.
You don't forget stuff like that.
No, you don't. And that was one of the early impressions I had on what this system was like. I mean, again, I was there with my grandfather, so I was the little guy. You're going to go get bread for us. I've waited in literal bread lines. I've actually seen that. And so, between that and, the experience there and seeing what that system did to good, smart, hardworking people when you have no real motivation to go above and beyond, do anything beyond the bare minimum, it formed a great impression on me. And I've always asked, why is it that there's no one from those places? Why is it that there's no one who's actually lived under these systems, whether it's there in Eastern Europe, whether it's from the former Soviet Union, whether it's from China, whether it's from Venezuela. You're talking about millions of people, if not hundreds of millions of people. How come there's not one advocate that's actually lived under these systems saying, no, we got to bring that crap here. Let's bring it here. Yeah. What could go wrong?
And so, Don, what you just said made so much sense because, you're talking about people that have actually lived under socialism. They end up being the ones that actually advocate for conservatism and Republican values. The one thing that always hit me so hard, Don, is when you tell the story about your still living grandmother who watches CNN overseas, who may not see that you're fighting as hard as you fight. She's not on Twitter. She's not on social.
Well, they won't air the other side, right? But I mean, it's the Communist News Network. They're only going to put the one side out there. And so, but it is. It drives that point home so much more for me and sort of reminds me of all those roots when, you have a 93-year-old woman, just turned 93 about 2 weeks ago. She'll call, Donnie. We're speaking in Czech, but you don't understand. You can't bring this system here. They make these promises. It always sounds so good, and then it's a total. This is a woman that spent years of her life hiding in her farmhouse basement from the Nazis, during that occupation in World War II. Who then did the same, from the communists when they initially took over. This is a woman that's had it a lot harder than we have. Not a soft person. She gets it. She understands how life works. And, to see this woman who's been there, done that, in tears because she fears for the well-being of her grandchildren, meaning me and my sister and brother, her great-grandchildren, my kids and Ivanka's kids and Eric's kids. I mean, that she's that concerned about their future, even knowing that we live in America, but just understanding how fast it can all go so wrong. It's just an incredible thing.
Because she saw Europe before and after communism.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, she was, you know, Czechoslovakia. I mean, it was, you know, the original bohemian kind of country. Right. I mean, she saw those freedoms. She lived that lifestyle.
It was the wealth engine of Europe for years. Yes.
In that part of the world. And then, you know, to go into World War II, to then, you know, go into, you know, the communist regime. I mean, talk about a 180. And again, you know, it always sounds so great when you're promising everything for free and everyone's going to be equal and everything's this, and it just doesn't ever work out that way.
Well, and it's also, it's very easy to be generous with other people's money. And what I find, you know, when we talk on these college campuses, one of the things that you write about in your book, and I encourage everyone to check this chapter out, especially our young students, please go buy the book and check this out. You talk about the censorship on college campuses. And yeah. I mean, we're actually backstage right now about to hit a stage. And, you know, there might have been some fake tickets, but there's over 16,000 tickets, you know, that were claimed for this event. Fake tickets, of course, it's a thing that the left always likes to do. They try to make it seem as if, you know, like, oh, we're going to buy all these fake tickets and then no one's going to show up. Well, there'll be thousands of people that can't even get into this auditorium. But Don, you spoke at University of Florida where there was a little bit of a response and backlash. But you have a whole chapter on this in your book where you talk about the suppression of speech and kind of the intolerance.
100%. I mean, I think, you know, there's no one less tolerant than a leftist preaching tolerance. We've seen that. I did it with you in 15 and 16 on college campuses going around. As my father said, you know, he's got to be the president for all people, and we're going to go out and have that message heard. But we've seen it time and time again on college campuses. They don't go there to listen, the left, and hear something and maybe disagree with it or formulate an argument. They literally go there simply to disrupt. And I always say, how effective can your message actually be? Mm-hmm. You know, how convinced are you that you're actually right, that you can't even allow others to be heard, that you have to prevent them from even saying those things? And we saw that. I mean,
University of Florida. Yeah, about Florida. I mean, it's like one of the funniest stories.
I didn't know whether to be, you know, upset or impressed. I mean, there was one person that literally screamed.
Uninterrupted.
I don't think there was a pause for breath. It was, like I said, I was kind of impressed. I was like, wow, you know, if you could channel that amount of hatred into something productive, you could actually accomplish something. Now, you know, we're in there with loudspeakers and something, so I don't think it did anything other than maybe annoy the other leftist next to her, but it was like an uninterrupted, for 45 minutes. It was very impressive.
The whole time that, I mean, and I was there, I saw Don gave a great speech, and credit to Don, because you could have easily just said, to hell with all you guys, but you just gave the whole speech very methodically. But they were kids. There were 400, 500 kids that decided to show up, not to hear the other side, mm-hmm. not to say, okay, you know, this is Donald Trump Jr. Maybe he might know something. I don't know. I'm an 18, 19-year-old guy, person. I don't want to assume their gender. But, you know, instead, I'm going to go and just scream unabashedly with no restraint. And who does something like that? It's maybe someone who's afraid to hear the other side.
Well, I think without question. But you know what was interesting about the crowd was, I mean, obviously you had a lot of support, but then you had a lot of people that, I tend not to, you know, judge too much, but you can usually tell, which side they're going to be on or who are the troublemakers. And, you know, and I saw that. I walked in, I go up, you know, there's, you know, people with sort of the hoodies and the shirts pulled up because, yeah, exactly. they're more than
contact,
happy to,
you know,
it's sort of like the Antifa model. Like, we're going to disrupt and do all this, but we don't want anyone to know we're actually doing it. Yeah. We'll hide from it. And, you know, it was interesting watching a couple of those that I, in my mind, knew were going to be a problem. Like, you actually started talking statistics, talking about, you know, the unemployment numbers.
There were a couple
about,
that shut up.
There were a couple that all of a sudden you see them and they're like, you know, I'm not saying it was, you know, they weren't all of a sudden going out and buying MAGA hats, but, you know, you almost got a golf clap at the end. You know what I mean? They weren't going to show enthusiasm, but you could see you start talking about the facts, mm-hmm. and it's like the first time they're hearing them. It's not like that they've heard both sides. It's they've literally been brainwashed with one side, and they're like, wait a minute, that's true?
It's not
wait a minute, that actually happened.
They've never been exposed. It's not that they're opposed.
Never going to hear it otherwise. I mean, at that point in their lives, they literally had been, you know, owned and indoctrinated by the left. And so, but it was, I'm not saying this is a big group of people, but it was, you know, 10 or 15 that I was like, you know, that there's going to be trouble coming from that section. And all of a sudden, you start seeing a couple, you know, now it's like, okay, you know, I'm here to actually listen. And that means the world to me, actually. Because, you know, you sort of assumed it was going to be a problem. You know, they were never going to be the ones cheering, but it was shocking to see sort of a little bit of that awakening.
Well, and Don, to your credit, I stopped some of the kids after the event and some of our other kids, and, you know, they'll say, hey, I was undecided before I came in here, and now I'm totally on board with what you guys talk about. There is that population that comes out, And that's really who we talk to. And to kind of transition, Don, to something else you talk about in your book, and everyone's got to, you know, check it out, especially this part, because you say some things that you haven't really, I think you've written some op-eds about it, but social media censorship. And
Okay.
you and you have a whole really important chapter on this. And
I mean, and since I've actually finished it, like I could probably
write like,
more.
Can I add some stuff? Can I add another chapter?
Well, that's the reason. I mean, I talk about it's a big part of Triggered because, I mean, I was one of the first people to sort of, you know, to call this out and to take some of the risks calling it out. Because, you know, you go against
you were ahead of the curve.
The woke mob. I mean, I did this when, you know, a while ago. I was looking at my Instagram thing. I had something like whatever it was, like 35 million impressions in that time period and zero new followers. And I'm like,
it's statistically impossible.
I did nothing different. You know what I mean? I'm just like, just bots, right?
Sure.
It was literally impossible. And so I called them out, and all of a sudden the next day, you know, back up to, you know, 10, 15,000 new followers a week. And it was like, well, what's going on here? So I started seeing it. You know, obviously I noticed some of the suppression and being a big sort of proponent of free speech or religious liberty and certainly the Second Amendment. You know, I see it in all those accounts, you know, and these guys, they started reaching out to me and I sort of became a soundbox. And it wasn't that they were just reaching out to me because I followed them. I mean, I'm getting stuff from accounts I don't follow. Like, they have to assume that I'm reading my sort of requested DMs
sure.
of people. And I actually do because it is a good sort of, I've sort of not just utilized social media to put out, but to also take information.
You deserve praise for that. You go through and you hear what people are saying.
I do, all sides.
Yeah.
You know, and
not enough people do that.
I try to listen to it. So I started watching it, and the amount of people that reached out like, hey, it's happening to me too. It's happening to me. Like, here's me trying to like your video. You know, you literally.
And a screen video of it. And they literally can't.
That's my point, which is these are people who know that I'm not likely to read their literally 500 to 1,000 word explanation with video. I mean, they took the time out of their day to write that, to do it, knowing that there's a slim chance that any other blue check mark that they're sending into is never even bothering
you
to
check.
You
think Chelsea Clinton goes through her?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You know, and I did, and I started seeing. I go, man, you know, if they can do it to me, they can, and they're obviously doing it to these guys. I mean, they're sending me videos like, here, Don, I'm trying to like the tweet. And this isn't like some sort of like, you know, bomb that I'm throwing in there to mix it up. I mean, this is like a picture of me with my
Chloe.
Kids.
Yeah, Chloe with and like a thumbs up.
You see the heart go up and it
disappears.
Heart yep. goes up, disappears. Comment
I get
on
these
my
videos myself all the time.
They've been locked out of their account for 24 hours for trying to like my thing. They're showing it about my father. I mean, I think the real big breakthrough was sort of when I called out the Jussie Smollett nonsense.
Yes.
Because I think I was probably the first, meaning the first conservative with something to lose. Right,
you know, that may be a couple, right. Well, there are a couple.
There's a couple
whatever.
Small accounts that it's like I don't even want to say.
Yeah, but whatever
well,
they'll
say anything
yeah,
for outrage,
saying.
And they're looking for it. But like, you know, I'd say it's a little different for me. I got, you know, millions of followers. My father's the president of the United States. Like, you know, if I screw this up, they will go after you. And I'm just saying, man, seems sort of odd. You're telling me that guys on the coldest night of the year in downtown Chicago, put on MAGA hats, carried a, you know, little like twine, you know, 2-pound breaking strength twine noose and a bucket of bleach on the off chance.
2 a.m.
At 2 a.m., the coldest night of the year in Chicago. On the off chance that this really rich actor is maybe going to go out there.
For Subway.
And get a Subway sandwich. Because I go, you know what, if I'm a really rich guy, I'm
ordering
Eats. Subway.
Yeah, you,
yeah.
Or just, you,
there's alternatives.
They'll bring it to you.
So, you know, again, as I've said then, if they actually did it, fry them. I just said, man, are we really going to buy? Like, it just seems a little odd because no one else bothered to question it. You know, you had every major celebrity. Oh, my God.
Robin Roberts.
You know, Kamala Harris.
That's
it's
exactly
a modern
Cory
lynching.
Cory Booker said that. Yep.
You know, every, you know, the woke mafia, you know, jumped on it without even thinking that it could be a hoax. You know, and since then, we've uncovered so many of these other sort of hoax hate crimes
like
because
the
they know
that,
they'll get attention.
The
it's
one
a
that happened
street.
At Karen Pence's school where the girl
Correct.
Said that she, you know, her hair was cut
all
off.
All the stuff with Andy Ngo, all the things that
yes.
he's uncovered. You know, so I just said, I don't know. I don't think that a couple of white guys could make it in downtown Chicago wearing a MAGA hat without getting shot, you know, for more than 15 minutes. So that was sort of the first, like, you know, I've been all over quote-unquote MAGA country, and I never heard of it called MAGA country. Everyone I'd known had called it America. So I was like, just seems really convenient to throw that out there.
And
so
he kept the noose on.
You wear the noose that you were, you know, you're threatened with your life and all is this terrible experience. You're going to leave it on?
Well, when the police walk in, they say, do you want to take that off?
Well, how about the police said, hey, let me see your phone? No.
Exactly.
I mean, that was the first thing. You know, and I just, so, you know, of course, then immediately, you know, Donald Trump's spreading conspiracy theories, the yada, yada, yada. Instagram takes the post down, and I you know, immediately put it back up. You know, like, what the hell? But when I did that.
So you got censored when you came out against Smollett.
Well, but I didn't even come out. I literally asked a question.
Just not even coming out, just saying, you know, there's something
wrong. I asked
a
question.
There might
be
something
wrong. There's something off here. And, man, it opened the floodgates. It opened the floodgates. And these people, you know, I don't mean five or six. I mean, I was taking screenshots of doing like a, you know, a collage of like five, you know, rows, 10 things deep of just, and it was just hundreds of examples, thousands of examples of people just, and, you know, we followed it up, you know, a couple weeks ago. This one didn't even make it into the book by the time and it was the example of someone was like, one of the sort of, you know, bigger guys in our world and, you know, sort of the influence market was like, hey, you may want to check this out, but type in your handle.
This was unbelievable.
To Instagram. Right? Your handle. Not like a derivation, but like Donald J. Trump Jr.
Which is hyper-specific.
Like, it's very specific, right? It also happens to be almost identical to the president of the United States, who I share a name with. And me, nor him, showed up in the first few pages of scrolling.
And I checked this out myself. I typed in, and it didn't show up for me.
Yeah.
So, and for suggested follows.
Suggested follows. There was, you know, Don Trump QPXYZ underscore 1426, you know,
all
dash
these like anti-Donald Trump, you know.
Anti-Donald Trump, you know, I mean, accounts with 2 to 3 followers. I mean, I got 2 million Instagram followers. My father has 15 million.
66 million Twitter followers.
We share the same name, and they didn't show up in the search for our name. It was nuts. Now, of course, then I put up the post showing it within 15 minutes. They tweet
the
algorithm.
They said it was an error, Don.
Yeah. Well, and then you see all the articles, you know, 3 days later. Oh, I'm searching it. You're showing up now. Well, of course I'm showing up now.
Some
because
engineers. You know, like,
so
hey,
they
fix
make
that,
it seem like
that,
we're. You know? But, you know, I guarantee you, you give it a few weeks, it'll be back to being worse. And you see the follow count. No matter what I do, if I have an incredible week in terms of impressions, it's the same. It's 10 to 12 a month. You know, I never have those outlier, you know, weeks or months anymore. There's a cognizant effort to suppress that. And again, if they can do it to the president of the United States, if they can do it to me with a large amount of following and a very engaged and viral following, like, they can do it to everyone. The amount of people, I don't know what happened. I had to follow you 6 times last week. Don, you don't show up in my feed anymore. Turns out I'm not following you, but I never unfollowed you. It never ends. It's not just there. I see it in Twitter. I see it in my engagement. You've seen, you know, that conversation. You know, it's truly sickening. And what it is, it's a dry run for 2020. They're trying to do whatever they can to suppress that message from getting where it belongs. They're trying to prevent him from being able to get it. They need that to go through their filters, through the liberal media filters, which is this the marketing wing of the DNC, to get to the people. And, you know, that's a big, big deal.
Did you know a recent Gallup survey shows Americans worry more about burglary than almost any other crime? This is amazing. More than mugging, more than terrorism, more than car theft, and even murder. According to studies, just over 10% of break-ins are planned beforehand. The rest are spur of the moment, crimes of opportunity, in other words, totally random. Did you know that most break-ins happen between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. in the absolute middle of the day? According to the FBI, the average loss in a burglary is over $2,000. That can be hard to recover from. There are over 2 million burglaries reported every single year. That's one every 13 seconds. So think about it. Just in the time it takes me to read this ad, people are getting their houses broken into. Scary stuff. What are you doing to secure the property you care about? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. That's why I have SimpliSafe, and SimpliSafe is my top choice, hands down. SimpliSafe protects your entire home, every window, room, and door with 24/7 monitoring for just a fraction of the cost. Their police dispatch is up to 3.5 times faster because they use video verification. They make it easy on you. There's no contract, hidden fees, or fine print. It's won a ton of awards from CNET to New York Times Wirecutter. Prices are always fair and honest. So right now, go to simplisafe.com/Charlie. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now. Be sure to use simplisafe.com/Charlie. Use that promo code Charlie. That's simplisafe.com/Charlie. They're out there breaking into people's houses. You got to do something about that. Go to simplisafe.com/Charlie to make sure you and your loved ones are safe.
Well, what struck me is in your book, you list a lot of these examples. It's not an exhaustive list, but you also say in your book, hey, I'm an open mind here. Where are conservatives, like where are liberals actually getting suppressed? Because if liberals were getting suppressed.
Well, that's the point. You've not heard, you cannot name a single example of a liberal literally being deplatformed, demonetized, you know, these same instances happening. I mean, I have some of these people that go, hey, I'm following Media Matters, like magic. I don't follow a single liberal account, and magically Media Matters is popping into my feed, and not as a sponsored ad. They're following them.
Like organically, and somebody did that.
Someone's doing that and sticking that stuff into their feed. You know, you've not heard one complaint from the left about this happening to them or this happening to leftist organizations. And so, you know, it's sort of beyond obvious at this point. And, you know, the sad reality is so many Republicans don't even realize it's an issue, meaning I'm out there, speak to the base, I see these people on a daily basis, and it's a big issue for them. It's like a top three issue for them.
More so than what the GOP Congress realizes.
And they don't even get it. They're like, oh, it's not a problem.
Kevin McCarthy's been good on it, though.
A couple of guys have jumped on. Kevin McCarthy in the House, Josh Hawley in the Senate.
Josh has been great.
You know, some of these guys, they're finally getting it. But like the other guys don't even, well, it's free markets. No, it's not free markets because they're getting protections from the government that prevents them from censoring. It's not a private business if you're getting those protections.
Totally.
You know, try doing that at a movie theater.
Well,
it doesn't work.
Also, Don, a great example that I've heard you use before and might be in your book, I can't remember if it was or not, which is like, let's say you want to fly Delta Airlines and you have to get to New York City. It's the only flight you can get. You go there, they say, we don't like the Trumps. You're not allowed to fly Delta. Hold on. I got it. They say, nope, sorry, private business. When you have so few carriers and so few options, which airlines are, right?
Correct.
You think about it, it's United, American, Delta are one of the only three ways to get cross country. All of a sudden, you just can't discriminate based on political viewpoint.
Correct.
And so, or it's like, oh, you're carrying the New York, you're carrying Wall Street Journal. We don't allow you guys on.
Well, they're trying to have the best of both worlds. And again, you know, you have the mainstream
platform
media,
publisher,
you know,
stuff,
that's no one's going to call them out. You have the Democrats that just fight, frankly, much better than we do, or they're willing to engage. I think, you know, that is a positive thing of the Trump world in the Trump era, which is, you know, he has taught conservatives like, if you fight, you can win, guys. You just got to be willing
to fight. Look at
Kavanaugh.
None of these guys would have fought if it wasn't for
your
father leading the way.
There's not a guy that would have fought for Kavanaugh that would have lasted in that fight for more than 5 minutes. Now, the left was more than happy to destroy this guy, his life, his career, his family, his kids, just for politics. Right? There's nothing that's sacred to them. There's nothing they won't destroy for their political objectives. Whether it's Kavanaugh, whether it's the Covington kids, oh, wow. You know, Southern white boys that are Christian. Ooh, this is the holy grail of left wing. Like, we got to dunk on them.
One of the most extraordinary hoaxes.
You know, and if they're willing to destroy people's lives without any basis in fact, without any, you know, evidence, you know, obviously the evidence against Kavanaugh was so overwhelming that Dianne Feinstein in the Senate sat on it for, you know, 3 months.
And then illegally leaked it.
And then leaks it. You know, it's really disgusting, but that's what we are up against. I mean, we have to realize that we are in a serious fight for the culture of our country.
Yes.
And there's nothing the other side won't do. And when I see them espousing those values and the big government nonsense and the censorship and the this, it's crazy. I mean, there's things. What was the thing I saw today? And, you know, Massachusetts. You know,
what's the latest outrage? Yeah,
banning. Yeah, I think they said Massachusetts trying to ban the ability to call someone a bitch. You know, it's not nice, but man. Like, you know, and then they go around, no, we're not trying to suppress it. They're not trying to suppress anything as long as they're okay with what you're saying.
Well, but I'm sure it's okay to call a MAGA supporter that. I mean, they'd be fine with that.
Listen, you see the media
outrage. They really trying to ban that kind of speech?
I saw that today.
They don't have anything better to do in Massachusetts.
They got nothing better to do. Well, if they did, they'd be working on
infrastructure.
USMCA?
Yeah.
There'd be infrastructure instead of
balancing
simply the notion of
immigration.
Resisting.
The president's put forth an amazing immigration plan. This is the big pressing issue in Massachusetts.
They don't want to do anything.
This shows how good the economy is, Don, to be honest with you.
Well, they can't talk about it because they got nothing. I mean, what are their plans? They have none. They won't even vote on issues that will make it better because they're worried about getting Trump a win. And that's the real issue. I mean, when you realize that NAFTA is a failure, they realize that NAFTA is a failure. They're trying to reclaim this notion that they're for the blue-collar workers of America, which they lost under Trump. Where are you?
They don't want to give him the win.
The first thing they voted on 6 months ago when they brought it to the table. But it's still sitting on Nancy Pelosi's desk because she can't bring it to the people because Trump was the guy that got it done. They said it was impossible, and he got it done like everything else that he's done.
And it might help him get reelected. That's why they're trying to get in the way.
They would rather watch Americans suffer and not be able to take advantage of more job opportunities and all of these things than to have their own constituency thrive because they hate Trump more than they love America.
I am looking right now at Mr. Producer's Vincero watch. He talks about this thing all the time. Vincero watches create exceptionally crafted watches that sell them at a fair price. He's always putting his wrist up just to show me, just to brag off. He's got this amazing Vincero watch, and everyone who buys them says the exact same thing. I was talking to a watch expert the other day, and he said, Charlie, Vincero is one of the best, if not the best, out there. And look, they have 18,000 five-star reviews. That's amazing. And basically, it's because their modern timepieces blend fashion and function into one affordable timepiece. And so right now, they're giving us an exclusive deal on the Charlie Kirk Show. And by the way, there's been styles that we've announced that totally sell out. So you go to VinceroWatches.com, use that code KIRK. That's VinceroWatches.com, use the code Kirk for 15% off. For daily wear, special occasions, or around the office, a classic wristwatch is something every man needs because they establish the person who's wearing them, and that's you. They're bold, uncompromising showstoppers that can match any outfit. With styles ranging from Chronos to rugged sports watches, Vincero has a watch for every style, occasion, and price point. So right now, go to VinceroWatches.com, use the code Kirk, K-I-R-K. That's VinceroWatches.com. Use the code Kirk for 15% off.
So in closing, Don, kind of the whole book is a kind of a double meaning, triggered, of course, meaning that it's kind of a one way that you can say that people are triggered by, you know, what conservatives or freedom lovers do, and the left say they're so triggered. But you're also an outdoorsman and a pretty impressive marksman. So it kind of has double meaning there. So talk a little bit about how you came up with the title. And finally, just if there's one big thing that you want to kind of have people take away from, you know, this book and moving forward, what would that be?
Well, so I think it's so much because, again, so much happened to me in such a short period of time. I had the, you know, incredible opportunity to be really, you know, one of, if not, you know, the tip of the spear of the greatest political upset in modern history. Now, it's not an upset because it shouldn't have happened. It's an upset because no one expected it to happen.
And the obstacles, too.
The obstacles. Everything that you could do. I mean, whether it's the media, whether it's the DNC
the Bush
machine,
family,
whether
the
it's
Clinton
the
family,
lies, yeah. Whether it's the, you know, the establishment even on our side, you know, or supposedly our side. There was a lot there. I mean, you know, then, you know, hell, we talk about, you know, the Mueller investigation and that great hoax and, you know, sort of the, gee, Mr. Mueller, after you think after 2 years and $40 million, you'd know how this thing even started.
Or you know, you'd think you'd
read
your
purview.
Report. Yeah, you didn't read
this
your
guy,
own report.
Listen, they picked him because they could use him. He's past his prime. He had a record that, you know, they felt was seemingly beyond reproach. Trump can't attack him.
He wasn't involved.
And you saw that he had no idea what was even going on. He was like a stooge.
He didn't know Fusion GPS.
He had no idea. I mean, you know, any lobbyist in D.C. knows what Fusion GPS is. Right. You know, and this guy has spent $40 million in 2 years, and he doesn't even understand the genesis of the entire hoax.
Most voters know what that is now. Exactly.
It's truly sickening. But what the Dems thought was going to be their big dunk by putting him on stage just totally backfired, which is like everything they do. It's like, you know, watching an old, you know, Roadrunner cartoon. You know, every time they set it up, it just sort of ends up, you know, dropping the anvil on themselves. And I imagine we'll see more of that in the coming months.
Cool. Well, so everybody, I have a kind of a proposition. Since the New York Times is so kind to the Trump family and so kind to the Trump movement, how awesome would it be to get triggered number one on the New York Times list? Now, I know it's ambitious. By the way, I'm not setting false expectations because Don will probably get there, but the New York Times has been known to play games.
Well, they said, counts. Well, it's editorial, so we get to choose.
No, that's
so,
right.
You know, I can have the number one performing.
There's been lawsuits over this, too, actually, and they've been allowed to keep their ridiculous formula.
Right. Well, the only thing better would be to have the sales to be number one and to not be because they're playing games, because right. Then I have something to complain
but
about for another 6 months.
If we make it so overwhelming and there's a grassroots just fire that happens, so everyone go buy your 8 copies of Triggered, because we're going to have 8 years of Donald Trump, and you keep one and send 7 to your favorite liberal relatives, or you can send it to Nancy Pelosi's office. I'm sure that her...
all that stuff's public information.
Yeah,
you
all
can
of
find it. Send it. You
That's
know,
right.
Let's get a flood of books over to Capitol Hill. Maybe they'll learn something about economics.
Yeah, maybe you go send one to the Hart Senate office building to Senator Chuck Schumer, or you can send
Crying
it...
Crying Chuck would be
yeah,
good.
Yeah, Crying Chuck.
AOC, I'm sure she'd love it.
Do you think she would read it?
I'm not sure she can read. But
well, that's... You know, that's exclusive commentary.
Based on her plan, the Green New Deal, where she thinks that $93 trillion will magically pay for itself.
Math doesn't
I am
seem
not
to be
sure.
The,
yeah, yeah. You know, maybe math is the worst suit. But, it doesn't get worse than that.
No, but I think all things being equal, the left, and I think this is embodiment of why they go after you so hard, they're threatened by you. They really
well,
are.
Listen, again.
And they see the crowds you draw and the influence that you've been able to wield.
Because we're willing to push back. Guess what? Other conservatives could make that happen.
Yes.
They just haven't been willing to get in the fight. And that's why I think conservatives have ceded ground for 50 years.
Yes.
Because they say, oh, well, we're going to turn the other cheek and we're holier than thou. And the left has been laughing at them and that theory
while they take
for,
over the
for decades,
that's
while
right.
They've taken over academia, while they've taken over pop culture, while they've taken over, you know, every aspect.
Media, newspapers, everything.
You know, and made every bad decision for the American working class you could actually imagine. I mean, you know, it took Donald Trump to get that back in order, and it's going to take 4 more years to really put more of a dent in the damage that they've done to America.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, go get your copy of Triggered. It is out today. It is Don Jr.'s. I think it's your first book, right?
It is.
It's your first book. So
first book.
Let's make a splash. You know, we're so happy to support him when we can at the Charlie Kirk Show. Don, thanks so much for taking the time.
Good to be here, man. Thank you.
What a great show and great opportunity it was to sit down with the amazing Donald Trump Jr. First, I just want to say Turning Point came up a couple times in our conversation. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, Go to tpusa.com. It's the nation's largest and fastest growing organization for conservative libertarian freedom lovers on high school and college campuses. Join an event, start a chapter. You can get involved in a variety of different ways. You can follow us on social media for adults out there. You can pitch in some money. Go to tpusa.com. We have a huge event coming up, the Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS. That's tpusa.com/SAS. We have Don Jr., Candace Owens, Dan Crenshaw, Laura Ingram, Sean Hannity, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and so many other speakers. I'll be there. That's tpusa.com/SAS. That's tpusa.com/SAS. And to get engaged, get involved, Turning Point USA is leading the fight, winning the culture war on high school and college campuses where it matters most. Go to tpusa.com to get engaged, get involved. And please go buy Donald Trump Jr.'s book, Triggered. Go buy Triggered today. We're so thankful he took the time to be on our show today. Go to your podcast provider, type in The Charlie Kirk Show. Press subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. Do your friend to do the same. Support our advertisers. Thank you again for listening to the home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. See you soon. If you like my show, you're going to love the official Lakers podcast on Podcast One. Join host Mike Trudell and co-host Aaron Larsoul every Monday night as they discuss the Lakers news of the day, break down the games from the week, and have exclusive interviews from players, coaches, and staff. So don't miss the official Lakers podcast every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.